Good morning. Worship service started this morning. We welcome all of our visitors today. If you will, we're going to sing out a song from number 6. It's in your pews. We didn't have room in the holders there, so we're laying on the seat. Number 51. You will. An old song that everyone else, my age at least, remember singing in church many years ago. Number 51. This song is the reason I'm thankful. Amen. The Lord saved my soul when I was 9 years old. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you, Brother Key, Sister Shirley, for the good plan and leading of the songs today. We're a little thin today when I look out over the crowd. I'm sorry to say that. But if you've been getting phone calls like I have, you kind of understand. We've had several that have been sick this week, and I don't usually do a prayer list as far as mention it, and I'll talk more about that when we get there, but we've got so many that are sick right now, and some of you have been sick and are better, and I'm thankful for that this morning. I'm glad you're able to be back with us today, and I just hope and pray that we all stay well. There's been a bug or allergies, that's what's been told us. It's a going around, it's affected a lot of people, and it makes you feel real bad and got the crud. But you feel well enough to be here on this beautiful Lord's Day. We've talked enough about the bad, right? It's time to be thankful for the blessings that God has given us today. We are going into a Thanksgiving week. Our Sunday school lesson this morning was about being thankful, and that's a good thing. It's something that, as Brother Stewart said in our lesson this morning, most of the time we think about being thankful right then. But in a few minutes, we tend to forget. And basically what we'll tend to do is hours later, we've completely forgot is what we'll tend to do. So let's be thankful during this coming week. I know it'll be something that will occur in our minds, and because we'll hear about Thanksgiving holiday and we'll think about it. But there's a lot of things for us to be thankful for today, and that's going to be our theme for our children's church today. So Brother Sam is out today. He's one of those that's out. They are actually visiting family today, and so you're with me today is what you're going to be. So all the kids, let's come over to this side right here. All the kids, please. Still got a good group this morning. Good to see all of y'all. Can we get a couple more? It's still a good group. Good group this morning. And I'm thankful for every one of y'all. As we said, this is going to be the week that we celebrate Thanksgiving. All right. Do you know what it is to be thankful? Who can tell me what it is to be thankful? Go ahead. Right? Giving thanks for something that you have. Now, what I'd like for you to do is tell me something, and Miss Cheryl will tell us this a lot of times, that for their Christmas dinner and their Thanksgiving dinner, she'll have each one of the family members to tell something that you're thankful for. Now, I'm not going to point you out and say, you've got to tell me something thankful, but it sure would make me feel better if you would tell me something that you are thankful for today. Okay, somebody? Go ahead, sir. Bless your heart. Bless your heart. I'm glad you got to come to church today. And I'm thankful that you're here today. Somebody else? Go ahead, Zoe. Thankful for God. That's a good thing to be thankful for. Go ahead, Ben. Your family. Your parents. Your family also. Somebody else? Go ahead. Your friends. That's a good thing to be thankful for. I agree. All of these things are good to be thankful for. And one of the best things we can do is just from time to time look at those things that you've mentioned today and others, because as time goes on, you'll remember something else that you're thankful for. Because, see, when you remember those things, and you'll think, boy, I sure am thankful for that. I'm glad God blessed me with those things. And see, I'll have to say, I'm going to brag on Sarah, that she said she was glad she got thankful she got to come to church today. You see, I'm glad y'all here, and I'm thankful that you're here. Each and every time you come, you make me feel better. Yeah, you make me feel better just to see your faces coming into the church. You do. Whether it's on a Wednesday night or it's on a Sunday morning, I sure am glad to see you. You brighten my day. Okay, anybody else got something that you're thankful for? With that being said, I'll let y'all go. Amen. There's some good words of wisdom in those little mouths. I looked at them and I had to think about Hope and Zoe in this way. I was thankful they got saved a few months ago. Two that were up here, and just I was glad of that, and I'm still thankful for the ones we saw get saved. But when I look around, there's still several that we need to be praying for, aren't they? And I want to, yeah, all right, I forgot Ben. Excuse me, Ben, I'm sorry, I left you out, didn't I? Ben, too. It's good that we have been blessed in such a way. But I look around and, yeah, there's some that told us in times past that they were lost. But I'm still longing to hear them say when they get saved. And I want them to be thankful for that salvation. Amen. All right, I need to move along. It's good to see everybody here today. Hope everybody's had a good week. And I said I don't usually mention everybody that's in prayer, and I'll probably end up messing up and forgetting some. But I've had several calls this week that wanted us to pray for them. Sister Nettie Jennings called, and her husband has pneumonia, and he's over here at St. Thomas. And Sister Linda Knapp had shoulder surgery, and she wants our prayers. Brother Dave, he had this artery cleaned out in his neck. Pray for him. Sister Kendra Johnson that joined the church here a couple of weeks ago. We're not going to get to do her baptizing for probably a month or more because she's having open heart surgery Tuesday. So do remember her. We want to continue remembering Sister Helen's son with his cancer. It was also mentioned today those that's lost loved ones this year. Thanksgiving, Christmas is a hard time on people who lose their loved ones. And we need to remember them in our prayers. But like I've already said, we do need to remember these lost souls also. So keep that on your heart and in your mind. Does anybody else have a prayer request on your heart before we go any further in the service? Let's continue to remember one another in prayer. Let's pray that the Lord will open up our hearts and that He'll just bless us with His Spirit, that we'll show these that are unsaved how grateful we are for them being here and how grateful we are for our salvation, that it'll show them how good salvation is. Any other prayer requests? Amen. Bless you, Sister Barbara. We've been missing you. Of course, she's been out with the death of her nephew, would be who he would be. And we've been missing her being with us and appreciate these good words. And let's do continue to remember her family. And I hope we will also be thankful, like she is, just to be here today. Somebody else have a prayer request on your heart? Appreciate each and every one that's come out today for our service. Make sure that you pray for me today as the Lord would have me to preach today. Brother Chad, would you start our prayer, please?
Let's talk about it. 88. Song. I know my God is with song all week long. You know, if it's one thing that I time, at any hour, and He's always there. Come on, sing.
Thank you.
through his mess.
Good morning again, everybody. We are glad to see each and every one out today in this service. Does anybody have anything on your heart today? I do not know how to run a service. I've been preaching almost 50 years, and I've come to realize I still don't know how to run a service. And I think the Holy Spirit does that much better than anything that I or anybody else can do. So I ask that you pray that you'll follow the Lord and that I will follow the Lord today in this service. And so be prayerful that whatever comes out today will be of God and that it'll be exactly what the Lord wants today in this service. If nobody has anything on your heart, word of testimony or anything, I do have a little bit of a cough left over from my bout with the allergies. And so keep me in mind in that way. Today's message, I'm going to take our thought from the 18th chapter of the book of Acts this morning. The 18th chapter of the book of Acts this morning. This sermon will be a little bit different today. However, there is times that we need to talk about what we believe. That we need to instruct our young ones as to what we believe. I believe we live in a time that most people do not know the difference from one church to the next church. And basically what I'll say is there's in most people's minds, there's no difference between a Baptist church, a Methodist church, or a church that has no name whatsoever. I thought about trying to make a funny there, but I'd better leave that alone. Because there's a lot of names out there that churches fall under these days. But there is a difference in the true church. I want you to know that today. there's three markers that really shows off an ancient church. Now, when I say an ancient church, I'm talking about the church that Jesus set up, that his apostles went out and carried the gospel out into the world, and that early church that just scattered everywhere in those early, we'll say, maybe I should say it in this way, the first few hundred years after Christ left his church here upon the earth. That's how we have the gospel today, is those early churches, they carried the gospel out. There was a time, I believe, when especially the church of Jerusalem, probably within the first, I'll say even 50, 60 years, that they pretty well just was happy just to be in Jerusalem. They was going to be content that the Lord was going to come back and they didn't have to go out any further. Well, persecution came up and they ended up getting run out of Jerusalem, basically. Some of them stayed in Jerusalem. But as a whole, they got ran out of Jerusalem and out of Israel, and they ended up in all parts of the world. A quick example, we talk about Thomas, the Apostle Thomas, and we call him a doubter. Did you know that he carried the gospel into India? Yeah, he did. That's where he died, was in India. There's other apostles that died in many different places. There's records of, and in the scripture where Paul wanted to go to Spain, and I believe he actually did, and there's a marker on the continent of England that said something about the Apostle Paul being in England. They carried that gospel out there. But there was parts about them that just signified what that church was. There was three main markers, and I'm going to talk a little bit today about two of them. The three main markers were first the plan of salvation that they believed in. They believed in a heartfelt salvation by grace through faith is what they believed in. You'll find that in all the history of the early church in those days. The other thing that they had was a baptism that was by immersion, and it was a believer's baptism. You'll find that in all of the ancient churches. And the other one was a strict discipline of their churches. I'll have to say, just about all of the Lord's churches have left that last one off. And I'm not going to preach on that today. Maybe the Lord will give that to us another time. But I want us to look at the subject of baptism first and foremost today. Because I really want our young ones, I hope y'all will pay attention to me today. Our young ones, those that have been saved within the last 5 to 10 years, I want you to pay attention to this today. You may have heard this, you may believe it wholeheartedly, but you've got a group of people here that are like me, got gray hairs in their head, and they believe this, but it's necessary that you believe it. It's necessary that you believe it also. If you want to be in the Lord's church, you've got to look at this believer's baptism as being something that is a staple in the churches that you'll go to. As it might be, our younger people, our teenagers and down, there is a likelihood that they will come to an age where that they'll look at some young man or some young lady and they'll go, huh, he's nice. I'll go with him. I may go to church with him or her. I want you to have some markers to look for. That plan of salvation is the most important one of all. That being saved by grace through faith, that is the most important one of all. That way your children or your grandchildren can get saved. If you let them go to a church that will say, oh, you got saved by some other method. Maybe you done enough good works, or maybe you did something that was just something that you did. Maybe you got baptized. Maybe you joined the church. Maybe you did this or that in order that you got saved. Don't look at them. The scripture says, for by grace through faith ye are saved, that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. That's the plan of salvation in a nutshell. We can go a lot further on that, but we need to move right along today, because the second marker is a distinct marker. Years ago, I attended a service in which that a Baptist preacher was debating a man that believed that water baptism was essential for salvation. Now, some of you know what I'm talking about in this. Some of you grew up in that, and they can tell you that did not save them. But they was in that debate, and the old preacher that was talking about salvation by grace, and he said, "Brother, the man that wanted the baptism essential, he said, Brother Ballard, am I to understand that it is easier for a man to get to heaven than to be a member of the Lord's church?" That was his statement. Now, the old preacher's name was Brother Ballard, and what he said was, you're exactly right, because without salvation, you cannot be a member of the Lord's church. You cannot be a member of the Lord's church without baptism, without salvation first. That's what we're going to talk about today. In the 18th chapter of the book of Acts today, reading two verses. In the 7th verse, and this is talking about Paul, and it says, and he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, who one that worshiped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. In other words, it was right up next to the synagogue is where he was at. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, the chief guy there, believed on the Lord with all of his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Now, a lot of the verses that I'm going to use today are going to be very similar to this verse here today. But I want you to see it throughout the scriptures that this is a very important point in this in these churches. There is a scripture over in the book of Proverbs, and it says to not remove the ancient landmarks. Now, that actually had a term to the stones that they put on the corners of the property to show the landmarks of each individual inheritance to the people. And that landmark, it was a criminal thing to do. And I just assumed for years that it was maybe a stone, and we'll say maybe like that, that had a number or a name or something on that. Some of those stones was much bigger than this table down here, but it showed the landmark of that place. You see, if somebody removed that landmark, it meant that somebody could steal some property. If we said this was the property line to your home, and that was your property over there, and we took it and shoved it over there to that seat, you've lost a lot of property. You see, when a church leaves the truth of what God has set up in His Word, you lose a lot of property. You lose a lot of strength in your body. Now, what? First of all, today, when you're being baptized into the Lord's church, I want you to get this today. When you're being baptized, you're being baptized into the body of Christ. Going to the third chapter of Galatians in the 27th verse. And it says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. You're baptized into Christ. And what it tells us in other places, you're baptized into the body of Christ, which is the church itself, is what it'll tell you in the book of Colossians and also in the book of Ephesians. Now, many will say that, well, when you're saved, you're put into the church. But listen to what he says here if we back up just one verse. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. That's your salvation that he's talking about. But then he says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You see, it's important for a church itself to be the candlestick, if you want to call it that, of the body of people that are here in this church today. Each and every one of you, the Bible has told us, ye are the light of the world. And he says to not put your light under a bushel, but to put your light upon a candlestick. Now, we think many times of a candlestick as we have in our homes and that candle being put on there. That candlestick is this church. And I'm not talking about this building here today. I'm talking about the body of people that you are in among today. This is the church of the living God. It is the church that God has provided for you that you could hear the truth of God as its priest. That in that truth, you can have your children to hear the truth about Jesus Christ and his saving grace. This church is important to you for you to put your light upon. If you're the light of the world, hey, yeah, you are the light of the world. I thought that was Jesus. No, Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. He did say himself one time, I am that light. I am that one. But it is important for us to be that light that is there. So, in other words, when we're saved, then we're baptized into the body of the church itself. Now, going on just a little bit further here today in this lesson, we're going to spend quite a bit of time in the book of Acts today, but I want you to look for just a moment at verse 12 of the 8th chapter. Like I said, it's going to repeat itself quite a bit. But I want you to get that what the Bible teaches is what you're to believe. It's what you need to look for. Yes, I realize that most people will tell you today, one church is just as good as another. This building over here of people is just as good, and they may be better human beings than we are. They shouldn't be. That's the part about the strictness of their character that we will talk about maybe on another day. But the fact of the matter, this marker of baptism comes out time and time again. In the 8th chapter, in the 12th verse, and it says, and when they believed Philip's preaching. Listen, Philip had went down into Samaria and was teaching them about Jesus. Some of them had already heard about Jesus. Some of them had already been saved. But now Philip went back into Samaria and was again telling them about Jesus and his resurrection. Oh, they'd heard the rumors. They'd heard the rumors that came down or came up from Jerusalem, but now they've got a man who has come before them who was a witness of these things. And Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. Now listen to what it says. And they were baptized, both men and women. But notice that it says that they believed first. Notice that they believed first. Now again, talking about Philip, probably one of my favorite stories out of the Bible is in the latter part of this 8th chapter, because it tells how Philip went down into a desert at the urging of the Spirit of God. He didn't know what he was going for, just the Lord told him to go. And when he got down there, he found a man in a chariot. And that man had a copy of one of the scrolls. And he was reading these scriptures. And the Lord told him, said, go join yourself to that chariot there. And he got down there. And when he heard him reading that scripture, he looked up and he said, understandest thou what you read? And the man said, how can I except some man guide me? That tells me right there that that man did not know the Lord. He didn't know salvation. He had a desire to know what was going on. He had been instructed somewhat in these things, but he did not know the Lord. And what Philip did, it says in the 35th verse, Philip opened his mouth and he began at the same scriptures, and what you'll find that he was reading was out of the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah. And I'm not going to get into that part. But he preached unto him Jesus out of that scripture. He was telling him about salvation. He was telling him about the kingdom of God. He was telling him all these things that he had been taught to tell people about. After a little while, they got into the chariot and they went on their way. And I believe from what I read here that this man was praying, that he was talking to God during this time. And they came up upon a pool of water is what they did. Now, the scripture said that the man said, what hindereth me from being baptized? In this 36th verse is where you'll find that. What hindereth me from being baptized? Now listen to the words of Philip in the 37th. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, I will stop here just for a moment. And I'm going to pick at something. There's some of our Bible translations that does not like this verse. And if your Bible doesn't have it, I want you to take another look. What's wrong with this statement? If thou believest with all thine heart, he said, thou mayest. And the man, he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You see, then they both went down into the water. And he baptized him there in that pool of water. And when they come up straightway out of the water, now, what I'm understanding is they didn't go down in just to a little bit of water. They went down into a pool of water and he baptized him. And that's another sermon for another day. But he brought him straightway up out of the water and the Spirit caught Philip away. But the man went on his way rejoicing is what he did. You see, he believed in who Jesus was. Not just a common social belief. You know, some of you are visiting today. And you look at me and, well, you thought when you walked in and I introduced myself as a pastor, of the church, and you looked at me and said, yeah, I guess you're the pastor. We'll see if you can preach, though. You had just a casual belief. I hope after this sermon that you'll believe that I am a preacher of God's Word. I hope that you'll believe it with all of your heart. I hope that you'll believe it completely. What that I'm preaching to you today is God's Word, and I do hope that you'll believe that. But more than that, I want you to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God to the saving of your soul, and that's with all your heart and soul is what he said here. I believe it with all my heart is the way that he put it in that day. Now, I want us to go over and let's look at another place here. As I said, we're going to look at several different places that's going to sound somewhat dissimilar. But in the 16th chapter of the book of Acts, again, it makes a statement here that is very similar in many ways. And in this 16th chapter, we're going to read about a man by the name of Paul and Silas. They were two preachers of God that carried the Word of God into many nations. And they were on a second missionary journey. And when they got to this place here, Thyatira, I believe is where it was. But they got to this place, and they started preaching, and some believed, and there was a woman that was healed, and she had brought a lot of gain to people, her owners, if you want to say it that way. But what the Scripture said in that time was that they cast them into the prison, Paul and Silas. And at midnight, after they had beat them, after they were whipped so mercilessly, the Scripture says that at midnight they began to sing and to pray. And as they were singing and praying, I believe they'd sing a little while and then they'd start praying a little while. And that jailer who had been told to keep them fast in that prison, he was hearing what they were saying, and it was working on his heart there that night. How can these men that have been beaten so brutally, how can these men that they were kept in stocks and they were in no doubt in pain, how can they be praising a God? And then the earthquake came. There was an earthquake. Shook the prison down to the foundation, so much so that all the doors came open. And that jailer thought that he was in big trouble. And he thought, best thing I can do is just take my life. That was his thought. But Paul cried out to him and he said, harm not thyself. And the man called for a light and he sprung into the prison. He knew something was different about these men. Hey, I said you are the light of the world. I hope the people outside of this building today see you as something different. I hope your message to them is something different than what you've been hearing. I want you to be that light. You've put your light on this candlestick. You need to let it shine. And that means don't. After you put it on the candlestick, okay, I'll put it up here like this and I'll hide it from everybody. That's not what he's talking about. That man sprung in. He said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? You'll find that down in the 31st verse if you want to look. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Now, I want you to understand, he wasn't wanting to know about baptism. He wasn't wanting to know about church membership. He wasn't wanting to know about any kind of program, youth program, or anything like that. He just wanted to know about salvation. What he told him in that day was this. And Paul said, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. and thy house also. Boy, these men were brave, weren't they? They had faith. Sometimes it's hard for me to believe that one of mine can get saved. I'll pray for Hope. I went in and preached to her the other day, and my faith was weak. She's going to need more faith than Papa does. She needs the kind of faith that these men had. Not only you, but your household's going to be saved. And she come in there and he brought them out. He washed their wounds. He took them, cleaned them up, and then was baptized. He'd already believed, hadn't he? Oh, I need to move right along. I want us to look right quickly at another verse, and I'll try to wind this up pretty quick, Brother Key. I want us to go to the third chapter of the book of Matthew. There was a man who was sent from God whose name was John, if you want to go back into the book of John. And that man was sent to be a forerunner to the Christ. And that forerunner, he came and he was preaching, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," is what he was preaching. Repentance and faith go hand in hand. You can't truly repent unless you truly believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You can't truly repent except you believe that God is God. And that's what John was preaching. But he was preparing a material for the Son of God, the Messiah, the Christ, is what he was doing. And in that preparation that he was doing, he was getting a group of people together that could follow the Son of God. First of all, they needed to be saved. They needed to be a people that was born into the family of God. They needed to be a people that once that they were saved, they were willing to work a little bit for God. A little bit. Actually, all of these, I believe, worked a lot in the long run. But especially there was 12 that were baptized of John in the beginning. And these 12, they were called apostles. Now, the thing that I want you to recognize here today is found in this story about John in the third chapter of Matthew. As Matthew was preaching and teaching to them, as John the Baptist was preaching and teaching to them about these things, he told the Pharisees and Sadducees, because they came and basically they wanted to be a part of the group. Now, I do believe that. They was a part of them that they didn't like John, his preaching, to what he was doing. They didn't like that he was baptizing people and it wasn't under their authority. Jesus asked them about it one time. He said, "John's baptism, who was it of? Was it of God or was it of man?" And they said, "Well, if we say of man, the people's going to stone us, because they held him as a prophet," and he was a prophet. He was the prophet of God. "But if we say he's of God, then they'll say, why did you not believe him?" John started talking to them very harsh. He said, "You're a generation of vipers, for one thing." But he said, "Bring forth fruits." Did he want apples, oranges, pomegranates? No. What he wanted out of them was something simple. Fruits for repentance. Give me evidence that you've been saved, that you have repented. Give me that evidence that people can know that you've really been saved. Give me that kind of evidence. That's why when people come to join our church, we say, "Tell us about when you got saved. Tell us about it." I told them in Bible study here a few weeks ago, I like to hear a couple of things. I like to hear a person tell about, not everybody does. I like to hear a person talk about, well, I was in trouble. They had godly sorrow. And it caused me to be so afraid that I believed in the Lord, or in some form or fashion, or I cried out to the Lord. And then I like to hear a person tell about the change that they had. That change is not a physical change. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him will worship Him in spirit and truth. And what He saves is on the inside, the soul, the inward man. John said, bring me evidence. Bring me evidence that you're saved. And when they gave him evidence, I don't believe the Pharisees and Sadducees did, but I believe there was a host of people that when they heard the preaching of John, they repented. They believed. And he instructed them to follow him, follow the Lord in baptism. How do they follow the Lord? He hadn't been baptized yet, had he? Who sent John? God did. God did. It says in John's writings, he said, He that sent me to baptize said, in whom ye saw the Spirit descending upon and lighting upon him, the same is the Son of God. God sent him. Well, a lot of people today says, well, one church is just as good as another. A lot of people will say, forgive me, one ducking is good as another. And basically, that's what they'll say. Some will say, well, if you just do it this way, it's all right. It don't matter. But God had markers. And He put it in His church. And we're to watch for those markers. One of those markers is that baptism. I'll say it this way. There was a many of old-time Christians that lost their life because they stood up and said, no, that person's not saved. They can't be baptized. But that group over there, they said, well, it doesn't matter. We'll just get them into the church and it'll be okay. They can get saved later. That's what a lot of people say today. The marker that He laid down is true baptism of believers after salvation. Brother Key, that's going to be my message today. Thank you for your attention. I hope our young people listened intently. I hope you listen to this, and I hope you take it into your heart enough that when somebody says, well, it doesn't matter about baptism. It doesn't matter who baptizes you. It doesn't matter this way or that way. Just get into the church is what a lot of people will say. The ancient churches believed it this way. And I'll just ask you this way, and I'll close it with this. Would you rather follow Peter, James, John, Paul, Matthew, Thomas? I'm gonna quit before I mess up something. Would you rather follow them, or you rather follow, excuse this, Joe Blow down the street? I'd rather you follow Peter, James, and John, and Jesus. While we sing this song today, we always give you an invitation to come and seek the Lord. But we as a God, as the church today, let's be about God's business today while we stand and sing.